listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor today, Reverend Dr. Stephen Krenz from Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoffman, Illinois. Good morning, Pastor Krenz.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. Welcome back to His Time, and looking forward to studying God's Word with you.
Yeah, me too.
Well, share with us a little bit about Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoffman, Illinois.
About an hour and 15 minutes from east of St. Louis. We are a congregation of about 600 members. We average about 200 on a weekend services. We're a farming community, rural community, but not as many farmers as you might expect within the congregation, although that's kind of the basis here. We are, I know with the 4th of July weekend coming up, people would like a nice dry weekend, but we could definitely use some rain here, so that's what we're praying for around here. I've been here at this congregation for about 14 years. The congregation was started in 1875, and so has a lot of history, and also has a school that has been here since the congregation's inception. So great place to live, to raise a family, to serve God's people.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry there that you've been given to proclaim the good news of Jesus at Trinity and Hoffman, and the saints that gather to receive those gifts and go out into the community and proclaim the good news of Jesus in their daily lives.
Yeah. We're real close to just another thing. We're real close to Carlisle Lake, so a lot of your listeners may know Carlisle Lake.
Sure.
And Trillia. So we're real about 8 miles from Carlisle Lake.
And some may be heading there this weekend.
I would guess so.
Well, and perhaps you might get some of that rain you've been praying for as well.
Looks like there's a better chance.
Yeah.
So we pray that that's the case.
Well, we are in Acts chapter 10 today, verses 1 through 17, Peter and Cornelius. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Well, we just got done with the section from Acts chapter 9 where Dorcas was restored to life, Tabitha, she arose, and Peter is, Acts is kind of moving towards the gospel going out to all peoples, and the shocker of shockers is it's going to be to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles do not need to become ceremonial clean the way the Jewish standards were. He's going to reach out to them, and he's really pushing, in a good way, Peter and the apostles to move forward here. And so we find, as we're starting our text, that the healing is just taking place for Dorcas or Tabitha. He rose her, and many believed in him. And he is staying with a gentleman by the name of Simon, a tanner. And that kind of shows how the progress is being made to meet with the Gentiles, because the tanner would be one who dealt with dead animals. And typically a Jewish person would not do that. So it's almost as if Christ is softening Peter's heart and preparing him for something real major, which we're going to encounter today, and that is also him eating unclean, previously seen as unclean foods.
All right, Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 17. We're studying with Dr. Stephen Krenz from Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoffman, Illinois. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email. The listener lines are open, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through, we'll take a look at this first paragraph here, 1 through 8. As Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. All right, so we're at Caesarea, a man named Cornelius, a centurion, part of the Italian cohort, yet a devout man who feared God with all his household.
Yeah, this Roman soldier, and interestingly enough, the first Gentile that our Lord spoke of in terms of encountering was also a centurion in Capernaum in his ministry. And in fact, he said about him, Jesus said, that I have not seen, he spoke about his faith and the strength of his faith, and then spoke about how many will come from the east and the west. And so there is kind of history to centurion, to these Roman Gentiles coming to the faith. Also, I think it's noteworthy that there's not a desire for him to change his vocation in terms of being in the military. Neither Jesus nor here in Acts is there a scene as being an inappropriate vocation to be in this military position. So he was a centurion, which would mean he was over 100 people. Italian cohort was usually about 600 people. Now, there's some debate in the commentaries about how, at this time, they don't think that there was any military units from 6 A.D. to 41 A.D. That were taking place around here for a long time. But he was there. And again, they may have had some units there, but at least he was there. And he was a very devout man, as we can see. Let me read a quote about centurions, how important they were. This is from Polybius. Centurions are required not to be bold and adventurous so much as good leaders of steady, prudent mind, not prone to take the offensive or start fighting wantonly, but able, overwhelmed, and hard-pressed to stand fast and die at their post. So they were very respected within their positions. And then additionally with Cornelius, he was a devout, feared God and gave alms. The term I think we would sometimes use in Acts is he was probably a God-fearer. And our listeners may wonder what that is. He's a Gentile, so wasn't circumcised. But these were people who found that the Israelite religion, Jewish religion, was attractive. The monotheism, worship of one God, the type of worship, and then some of the ethical expectations. And though there was limitations on what they could do in the temple, probably even in the synagogues, it was so different than the background of which they were part of, the religious environment, that you do find kind of scattered throughout a lot of these God-fearers who were here.
About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. So this angel he saw a vision, an angel of God come before him. Call him by name.
Yeah, yeah. So the ninth hour of the day, we're looking at about 3 o'clock. In the afternoon, the day starts, remember, in the morning there at 6, so it says about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, typical time when one does prayers. And the vision of the angel, as often is the case in the Bible, just the mere sight of the angel does not bring joy. It's when the angel talks. That's when the word is spoken. That's what brings comfort, and there's there. So it's very typical that you would bring such terror. And apparently these prayers and alms were heard, were not missed. God had heard these sort of things. And then he was staying with the one who was tanner by the sea, and that he was to go and send a couple others, or he was supposed to go and go to get Peter.
Yeah, another translation puts it, the angel answered, God is aware of your prayers and your gifts to the poor, and he has remembered you.
Yeah, I think aware, that's a good way to, I like that better than in terms of hearing as a, certainly was aware of what was going on. But I think it's, you know, even in the resurrection of Christ, at the birth of Christ, when the angels appear, it always brings terror, but it's when they start talking. the word, that's what brings the comfort. So the mere sight of the divine is a terrifying thing, or even a manifestation of that in the angels, but it's when the speaking comes. And I think that fits with the view that the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, the word of Christ that changes lives.
So, and now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who's called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. So bring this this Simon Peter to Joppa.
Yeah. So he's having him go 35 miles. Let's see, Caesarea is having him go 35 miles south to go get Simon and then bring him back there. And I think what you're seeing here is, notice how God's taken the initiative. Christ has taken the initiative to make sure that this gospel goes, and he goes to tremendous lengths. He'll search out, and he'll bring Simon Peter all the way back up to Caesarea, and so that he can speak the word of God to Cornelius.
When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. So he goes about and begins this follow-through based on what the angel had said to him.
Yeah, so the faith of the Capernaum is they do what is being instructed. There's no questions here. He just kind of does what is being said. At least that's what the text says. And it kind of fits in line with the tremendous faith of this Capernaum to trust God's word and what he says, probably much greater than some of those who had heard God or heard Jesus before.
Anything else up through verse 8, Pastor, before we go on to Peter's vision?
I think we covered most of it here. I think we're ready to move on.
I think it's one thing that comes to mind as I'm looking at the text here before we go to the next section is verse 6, he's lodging with one Simon, a tanner. Before that, Simon called Peter. Why is everybody named Simon here?
Yeah, I don't. It's a good question here. They often call it. Yeah, you do find that in the scriptures. Names sort of repeat themselves over and over again. You will find this to be the case.
So, I guess it's like we have first names and middle names and last names, perhaps a cultural thing. So we have a Simon Peter, Simon the Tanner, all kinds of Simons. So we just got to keep these Simons straight.
Yep.
All right.
Do it our best, just like the Marys of the Bible. It's always
That's right.
confusing which one's which.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're studying the Daily Lectionary today. We're studying with Dr. Stefan Krenz of Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoffman, Illinois. We're in Acts chapter 10 today, verses 1 through 17. If you have a question or a comment, listener lines are open. 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. I was just thinking about the word extension and how that fits so well with our church body. We don't just hear the sermon, we are charged by the gospel and motivated to act upon it. We reach out a helping hand and use the gospel message to heal a broken world. Your investment with LCEF makes loans and services readily available to fulfill the Great Commission and extend God's kingdom. To learn more, visit lcef.org.
After reading a thoughtful book, or even part of it, do we not many times want to tell someone else what we've read? Do we not many times wish we could do this with the author? This is exactly what we do on Book Talk Fridays.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday, June 30th. We're studying the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. We're studying with Dr. Stefan Krenz of Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoffman, Illinois. We're in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 17. If you have a question or a comment, don't forget the listener lines are open, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, or kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, Acts chapter 10, let's take a look at verses 9 and following. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were there, while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air, and there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the things were taken up at once to heaven. So here we are, next day, on a journey, approaching the city, and Peter, up on the housetop, sixth hour, has a vision, or is kind of in like a trance, I think is the word used here. What's going on here, Pastor?
Yeah, so now we're switching now to the scene where Peter, back to their house. So they've arrived over on their journey. Again, a 35-mile journey, if I understand the mileage correctly there, or where they're at. Sixth hour, we're talking noon, and he's up praying. That's not the typical time of which they pray, but for pious Jews, they would sometimes pray at other times of the day. So it was at noon, the sixth hour. And he's hungry. He's up on top of the house, and he falls into a trance. Now, that word for trance there is can be a translated amazement, just to give you an idea of how that word has been used elsewhere. When the women fled from the tomb at Jesus' resurrection, it says, I believe this is in Mark, one of the Gospels here, I should have written it down there. For trembling and astonishment, the word for astonishment, had seized them, and they said nothing. So the word for astonishment is the same thing. You almost have this sort of wonderment that's going on here, this amazing thing's about to happen. And then also just to note here that what's going to be happening here is that these people are visiting Peter. So the unclean Gentiles are visiting Peter. Now, that's difficult enough. What's going to happen as we move on here is that Peter, Jew, is actually going to take the initiative and go and visit Cornelius, which is even a stronger thing that would be even more offensive to a pious person. So we see this kind of one step closer and closer to bringing the Gentiles completely into the kingdom here.
All right, so he became hungry, wanted something to eat. Happens to me all the time, too.
Yeah, the Bible quotes kind of basic stuff, so it makes sense, yeah.
He became hungry, wanted something to eat. Uh-huh. While they're preparing it, that's when he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. Now, this is starting to sound a lot like what we read in more of this apocalyptic language of John's Revelation.
Yeah, a little bit of that. You could also say when the heavens were opened in the baptism of Christ, you see this also, transfiguration, this sort of something great is about to happen here. And then what takes place? All kinds of animals are there, unclean animals. Leviticus 11 lists very clearly that these animals are not to be eaten. So you have this dichotomy. Do I go against what I've learned and believe to be true, which God even said from the Leviticus here? And of course, he's shocked, mm-hmm. and he is called to do that. What makes for clean and unclean animals? I was reading something recently that said that the unclean were often the wild animals, and the clean were the domesticated animals, sort of implying that the unclean kind of symbolized the wildness of the fall and of sin and uncontrollable, and that kind of had something to do with it, too. I think as Americans, as predominantly Christian background for Americans, what they grew up in, we don't quite comprehend the cultures where food issues are such a part of their religion. Today in Orthodox Judaism, various aspects of Judaism, in Islam, you do have these food issues becoming a much bigger deal. In the early 90s, I went to Israel, and if you're going on Friday and Saturday and looking for a hamburger or something to eat, something even pork product of some sort, you realize kind of how significant it is, how hard it was to find in the town, in Israel at the time. And it just, I had the sense as I was in that country, how big, much bigger of a deal these food issues are than I think we grasp as Americans.
Especially if you're looking for a bacon cheeseburger.
Exactly. Yeah, that was not easy to find, I can tell you that.
I think you have to go outside of the gate for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he became hungry, wanted something to eat while they were preparing, and he fell into a trance, saw the heavens open, something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air, and there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean."
Yeah, so what do you have before this? You have the angel coming to the Cornelius, and he just does what he says. Okay, he's terrified, but go send them. Okay, I'm going to send them to Joppa. What is Peter's first response? Lord. He even calls him Lord, doesn't he? He's not asking, is it really you? He says, by no means, Lord. So this was, I'm just curious with the dichotomy, the differences between the two responses there. Does it three times. He mentions this three times. Again, what God has made clean, do not call common. And then we find in verse 16, this happened three times and then was taken up at once to heaven. So the three times sort of signified it removes all doubt. And frankly, sometimes we need the Lord to tell us things, to remind us things, even to speak the gospel to us many, many times before it kind of gets through our noggin that maybe what you're saying is right, Lord.
So this happened three times. The thing was taken up at once. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this lectionary reading kind of stops in the middle of it, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to get to some more things here. Yeah, so we're just kind of in the middle, and the story's going to continue naturally, and you can kind of guess, or our listeners can read ahead, and of what's going to take place here, that Peter will eventually land at Cornelius' house here. But I think a couple things to be reminded of this is a passage from Colossians 2:16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. We're no longer bound to what we call the ceremonial laws, the sacrificial laws, that Christ has fulfilled those. In fact, the sacrifices, this is not directly talking about sacrifices here, but are a shadow of the things to come. And so I think that's important to note. And then there's also a passage from Matthew 15:11. It is not what goes into a mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This is what defiles a person. So it's a sense of the real issue for us is not the type of food we eat or don't eat, but it's what is dwelling within us, which is, of course, our sin. And because of that, we as sinners need redemption. And getting what Jesus is doing is getting to the heart of the issue here.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 17, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text as we see it as a whole?
Yeah, I think a couple things. One is just the great lengths that God uses to bring the gospel to people. It wasn't like Peter, and frankly even Saul, got up one morning and said, I have a real burden in my heart for these people. I'm going to, you know, pray and maybe he'll send me to these places. It's usually God sort of, for lack of a better term, forcing the issue, moving it along, and they're driven to do this. Holy Spirit induced, God from beginning to end, implanting and creating and sustaining faith, and sometimes kicking and screaming along the way. But God will do it. And I think that reminder that Christ is in charge and he will make his church go forth. And then I think the other thing is that God has made his creation and things are clean. And one of the dangers of our religious life, of our life with Christ, is either taking away from the law, the moral law of God, saying we're not going to follow this. And I think if we look at our country and things, that's our concern, obviously, that we take away from the law. But there's also something called adding to the law. And so that is also a temptation and a danger within religion, is to add to what God has said, various ceremonies, food regulations, Old Testament practices that Christ has fulfilled, and so forth. And so I think holding those two, keeping those two things both in mind is helpful.
We've been studying the Daily Lectionary with Dr. Stefan Krenz of Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoffman, Illinois. Pastor Krenz, thanks so much for being our guest today, helping us study in Acts chapter 10.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
God bless you and all the saints there at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoffman, Illinois. I pray that perhaps you get some of that rain you're praying for, and also maybe some time to relax and enjoy this weekend out there in beautiful Hoffman, Illinois. Coming up in just a little bit, historically speaking, with our friends from Concordia Historical Institute, you're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.